everybody. It is a Wednesday. That means just one thing. It's time now for Supernatural News and Parish Share. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is my co-host. She's intelligent. She's witty. She can write a book like nobody knows. She's my co-host today. Her name is Jessica Freebert. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Tim. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. You know, a couple of things real quick before we take off today and get this thing moving. First of all, a couple of real quick rants. We'll get into the stories. We have so many stories today, Jess. Things are so expensive today. I'll tell you, and this is how I know. I know the price of things by how much those animals in the front yard eat. You know?
You're gauging by animals. I gauge by children.
Yes, exactly. So this weekend, I bought the industrial size bag of like wild feed peanuts, you know, that you can get like a, I don't know, like a gajillion pound bag of peanuts for like $13. Like you could feed the entire neighborhood for a month on it, right?
Right.
Okay. So I buy one of these gajillion pound bags of peanuts because I don't know, everybody will eat them. But my moment of zen in life is to sit and watch Logan eat peanuts. That's become my
That's
new
so
thing.
Sweet.
Oh my gosh, it's the cutest thing ever, Jess. He'll take a peanut and he'll eat away, and he's the happiest little boy in life, right? So I'll sit out on the porch, I'll read my books here for the show, and I'll sit there and I'll watch him eat peanuts. That to me is the happiest moment in life, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So but my arch nemesis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, loves to eat these things by the fucking pound in a moment of minutes, right? And it drives me up a wall. So I'm trying to train him to eat one at a time. I swear to God, I'm going to the vet and I'm getting Ozempic for this squirrel.
He's a big boy.
He's more than a big boy, Jess. I don't know if I've shown you this picture. Did I show you the picture of this?
You showed me one last week, and he's huge.
The one of him sprawled out on top of the birdhouse? Did I show you that
one?
Yes. Okay.
It's crazy. I've never seen a squirrel that size.
I showed the chat room that, and they said, oh, he's splooting. I'm like, what in the F is splooting? They said, he looks like Snoopy. He's out on top of the
splooting.
He's splooting. I've never heard that term before, right? So, I'm trying to train him to take one at a time. I'm fat shaming a squirrel because I'm like one at a time, and I think my neighbors think I'm going nuts because I'm yelling.
They probably do.
Oh my God! I think they called a psychiatrist for me this weekend because my one neighbor right to the left of me was out there, and he took his kids and said, come on, kids, we're going in the house. And he ushered his kids into the house as I'm yelling.
Oh, no. You're the crazy guy in the neighborhood.
I am now because I'm yelling, one at a time, Arnold, at the squirrel. I've now become the nutso guy. So I figured I'd use this to my advantage. So it was intern Yoko's birthday this weekend, right?
Yeah.
And there's a baker that's been on the big shows here on the cable networks, you know, the big cake shows, Cake Boss, Cake Mafia, Cake Wars, Let's Have Sex with Cake, whatever the cake shows are on the big networks, right? So, but a 6-inch cake here, Jess, is $46.
What on earth?
Right? Do they make it out of unicorn tears and you know, and what do they make these cakes out of?
I'm going to start making cake.
Right? Although the cake is heavenly. I won't lie. This
is
thing.
Good?
Oh, my God. Mind you, I've only had two little slivers because I don't get the cake. I get to buy the cake. I don't get the cake. But this cake is amazing. But it's $46 for a 6-inch cake. And when I go to buy the cake, the girl behind the counter says to me, and she is a girl. She's, I think, 16. They hire him for as cheap as they can for a $46 cake. She says to me, well, sir, this cake serves 6 to 8 people. I look at her and I laugh and I go, it's a 6-inch cake. that's gonna last a day. I said, this is for 2 people. You know, it's a 6-inch cake. And she goes, oh, no, this serves 6 to 8 people.
Oh, wow. You really have to divide it up then. You only get a little bite.
You get cake bites for a 6-inch cake. You don't get a cake. You don't get a slice of cake. You get cake bites, right? I'm like, that's cute, sweetheart. You don't get, no, you don't get a slice of cake with a 6-inch cake. It's, you know, economics. Anyway, so I thought, all right, well, I'm going to get a discount. I'll bring Arnold with me because he'll talk him down. He'll just steal everything in the store and then I'll just grab my cake and run, right? No, I'm kidding. I didn't bring Arnold with me, but I should have, because he would have taught them the meaning of greed. And I probably would have gotten a discount because he would have went through that entire store and ate everything while I...
He would have just wanted you to get your squirrel out of there.
Yeah, that's right. He probably would have eaten all the macaroons while I took off with the cake.
Yeah.
By the way, the only discount thing you get in that store is a $5 bag of smashed macaroons. Yeah, normally their macaroons are $2.50 a piece, but you can get a $5 bag of about six to eight macaroons, but they're kind of mangled. But that's okay. They taste wonderful. So
yeah, you should have just smashed your cake and been like, do I get a discount?
Right, yeah. I should have brought Arnold in, have him attack the cake and say, hey, now is that a $5 cake? See?
We can find ways to save money, Tim.
That's right. So that's your economics lesson for today, kids. Evidently, if you don't look as good, you're not worth as much. So there you go. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyways, we got a big show today, Jess. That's just my little rant today. Oh, and by the way, go Wolves, go. Holy cow, were they good this past week.
Yes. Yeah. So exciting to see them doing well.
Yeah. So, and Anthony Edwards is something else. I don't want to say he's the next Michael Jordan, but man, is he something else.
Good.
He is good. So, boy, I've the biggest story I have for this part of this first part of the show is that you listeners have decided that this spiders crawling across Mars is the biggest thing we've seen since the moon landing.
Spiders crawling across Mars.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this.
Yeah, that's going to be our first story and the most sent in story this week. We got some big stories today, Jess. There's a little bit of nightmare fuel today. Strap in, my friend. Yeah, a little bit. We've also got some other intriguing stories on the other half of the break today. Another Nessie sighting today, Jess.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've got some ghost stories as well. And I have, at the end of the show today, my friend, an interesting conundrum for you.
All right.
This has to do with life, death, and how far do you go for a friend who is dying? Let me ask you this, and I'm going to have you ponder this, and we're going to talk about a story about if you have a friend that's dying. Let's say you have a girlfriend that's dying, Jess. Do you let your boyfriend or husband sleep with your friend who's dying, who's a virgin? We have a story at the end of the, and this is, I saw the story and I thought, this is too good to be true. This is something you and I need to talk about at the end of the show. There's a story out there about a woman whose best friend was dying. She was a virgin. She let her boyfriend sleep with her best friend. The friend dies. Now she's afraid that the boyfriend had a emotional attachment or relationship to the person who died. And she's jealous.
Sounds like she created her own problem, but we'll get into it.
That's right. So we'll talk more about that story. And would you or wouldn't you? And is it a final parting gift? Is it something that you say to yourself, why not? Because don't you want to send somebody off to the great beyond with, an experience that maybe they wouldn't have had otherwise? Or is it a gift of love, or is it something that you say, well, maybe I shouldn't because I might ruin something that will last a lifetime here?
I'm interested to hear the full story around this one.
Yeah. So we will talk about that on the other side of the break. In the meantime, let's talk about this story that you guys have sent in over and over and over again this week. Spiders seen crawling across the Mars surface. Yeah.
Yikes.
And everybody wants to go to this place, evidently, when we ruin this place.
I don't know. I don't like Earth spiders. I don't know about Mars spiders. They have to be extra, next level creepy.
Let me show you a picture of this here, Jess. That's kind of what they're seeing on the Mars surface.
Oh, no. That looks like an infestation.
It does, doesn't it? Still eager to go?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, it ruined it for me when Matt Damon was up there trying to grow potatoes. I thought at that point, I don't want to go. If that's all they got, you know, it's just potato growing. I'm out. That's it for me.
I don't know. I love potatoes. I have said if there's one food and one food only I can have, it would be potatoes.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I just don't want to grow them.
You don't want to grow them?
Yeah. I don't want to do that. No. Recently released satellite images show creepy crawly formations scattered across Mars' surface. The spider-like markings can be seen on the outskirts of Mars' Inca City near the planet's south pole. The markings are actually the result of when the sun's heat hits layers of carbon dioxide deposits that formed during the winter months, according to the European Space Agency. The sunlight causes the carbon dioxide ice that settles on the bottom of the layer to heat up and then form into a gas. This gas begins to build up and then breaks into the slabs of overlaying ice and shoots up to form a fountain or geyser, kind of like Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. Except instead of scorching water, dust-laden gas spews out from the cracks and settles back down to create the dark spots that are shaped like spiders. So it might not be an animal, but it looks like
spiders. It's all an illusion.
Mm-hmm. But still, boo. Yeah, not welcoming to me, that's for sure. I know that much. We'll move on, Jess. The other story that came out this week that has a lot of people going, you remember that story last year about the aliens that landed in Las Vegas in the backyard of those people? Oh, they called the police about it, and they had the video footage?
Yeah.
Well, the teen that was involved in that story, who called police, is now speaking out.
What are they saying?
Well, here's what he had to say. The Las Vegas teenager who claimed something crashed in his backyard last year, prompting a 911 call about non-human beings, is speaking out for the first time. 17-year-old Angel Kenmore said in an exclusive interview with News Nation national correspondent Alex Capriello, that he saw a giant creature who he believes may have now been a demon, is what he's calling it, but only God knows. Ken Moore said he felt paralyzed after looking at the entity for about 30 seconds. He remembers closing his eyes and praying for it to go away. It was moving and breathing. It was pissed off, like it wanted to do something looking at me. I remember he was growling, Ken Moore said. Well, that's kind of scary. Despite receiving numerous threats, Kenmore and the rest of his family have stood by their original report from April 30th of last year. That was 1 year ago already.
Wow, time flies.
It does, yeah. They can think whatever they want, Kenmore told News Nation. If I was going for fame, he said, I would be on YouTube. I made no money off of this. I don't need money. It was a really bad and traumatizing experience. Police body camera footage from the Metro Las Vegas police footage shows a flash across the sky the night of the family sighting, adding intrigue to the mystery. The American Meteor Society says that they are sure it was a meteor that caused the streak in the night sky, with 21 reported sightings of it stretching across California, Nevada, and Utah. We're certain it was a meteor because of the duration of the event, said Robert Lunsford of the American Meteor Society. Most everybody reported that it lasted between 2 and 5 seconds, and that's much too fast to be a re-entering satellite or a rocket. Claims of a UFO, aliens, and military activity have all been viewed in a different light since Pentagon whistleblower David Grush said in an interview with News Nation that a covert crash retrieval program of non-human spacecraft was had already been taking place. I don't know, Jess. He's got video footage.
Yeah.
He says he's seen these things with his own eyes.
I believe him. I tend to lean toward believing witnesses because it really is uncomfortable to talk about these things for people. I mean, people are often going to say that you're cracked or smoking something, you know, like, so I fully believe, I mean, I hope if aliens land in my backyard, though, I get the ET version instead of, like, it sounds like they got the alien movie version.
Right, right. I want to be able to throw them those Reese's pieces and just be, you know.
We're just going to chill and eat some Reese's pieces.
Yeah, and get the phone home, you know, that deal. Yeah, I don't want the snarling, growling, you know. No, not that deal, not at all. No. I'm going to show you a picture here, Jess, and you tell me, if you were driving down the highway and saw that on a trailer.
Oh, man.
What would your first response be?
I'd be like, someone's spaceship broke down.
Would you think AAA came to the rescue?
Yeah, I would be surprised that they actually offer that service to people that aren't from our planet.
So I'll tell you what Jess is looking at here. A UFO was hauled down a desert road by a tractor trailer in a bizarre new photo. Now, this happened in Argentina, of all places. That large object we're talking about resembles an alien UFO. Would you say it looks like a classic saucer?
Classic saucer, absolutely.
Okay. It was spotted being hauled down the highway on the back of a truck by confused motorists who drove beside it. That literally was taken as they were driving down the highway.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Footage has circulated of the large, oddly shaped object strapped to a vehicle on a road in Argentina between the towns of Andacollo and Chosmalal, which people have been saying looks like it is exactly a UFO and wondering why it was there in the first place. Shared on social media, viewers have flocked to the comments to speculate about what the strange dome-like thing could possibly be. One person asked, could it be a commercial equipment or a real UFO? Well, another insisted it was simply a telecommunications antenna. I could see why that would... It does look a little bit like a satellite dome.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah. That probably makes more sense than UFO, but UFO is so much more fun.
And see, when you look at it from a little bit further away, it looks like it could be turned upside down, like it's a satellite horn.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. I love these logical people bringing logic to our...
Yeah.
Kind of poo-pooing on our parade, but yeah, probably something.
But the bottom part looks like it could be filled in. So it's you could be skeptical on that, too. Another viewer joked, the Argentine economy must be really bad to carry an intact UFO on the roads in plain sight, while someone else suggested that the Argentinian military didn't have a military plane to transport it. But this isn't the first instance of strange UFO-like objects being spotted in recent times. In March of this year, images of strange blue objects in the night sky did the rounds. 24-year-old Levi Hycock, the greatest last name I'll read today.
Oh, man. Hycock.
Hycock. And that's H-I-G-H-cock, as in my dick smoked too much weed.
If that's your last name, you have every shirt you own has your last name on the back of it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm wearing jerseys everywhere. Yeah. Whatever sports jerseys I can find, was driving around Essex with her friend while they attempted to take a picture of the radiant amber moon, but noticed the blue object while checking the photo later. She told the Liverpool Echo at the time, we were just like, oh my God, it does look like a UFO. It does look like a ship. It doesn't look like a plane or a light. It looks like a UFO, as to the picture they were taking. I sort of believe them. I'm not a strong believer, but I do believe there are aliens out there and stuff like that. It's interesting. You can see it, but it was strange. I believe more now that I can see it. So, I tell you what, I'm going to put this in the description of the program so you can see what exactly we're looking at. This supposed UFO in the back of the truck in Argentina, and I'll let you describe for yourself, because it's a little too good to be true that this thing is on the back of a truck.
Yeah, I think so.
It's one of
those, much as I want to believe.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if you were, and it's literally a flatbed, Jess, it's literally something you put your 4x4 on if it broke down in the middle of a road.
It's not like a government issued vehicle. It's like a farmer came out and like saw a distressed UFO on the side of the road and was like, yeah, man, I'll help you out.
Right, right. Yeah, it's bizarre. That's for sure. I ran across a story this week that talks about some wild Bigfoot sighting theories that are talking about where they think the evolution of Bigfoot came from. And it's pretty out there. Of course, anytime you pull something from the Daily Star, it's pretty out there. They claim that although Bigfoot sightings seem to be uniquely North American, legends of forest-dwelling hairy men exist right around the world. Now, the Daily Star on Saturday gave you the rundown on these ape-like legends, they say. They claim they're in on this whole thing, and they've got the scoop, covering everything from the tiny orange pendek of Sumatra to the beastie Chinese urine and the monkey monsters of South America. But the worldwide proliferation of these beasts poses a question. Why do different cultures all seem to have the same form of hairy man legend? Cryptozoologist Andy McGrath, author of, and this is why I pulled the article, author of The Beasts of the World, Hairy Humanoids, has identified four theories. And these are the four theories that Andy McGrath has come up with. Extinct giant ape actually survived, or Gigantopithecus. He says that Gigantopithecus is a genus of ape that lived in Asia until going extinct 300,000 years ago. We know about it from jaw fragments, with estimates as to its height varying from 9 feet to 12 feet. Some people reckon that Gigantopithecus is the golden ticket to the truth behind Bigfoot. Andy told the Daily Star, seeing as it is an evolutionary forefather to modern-day hairy men, that it may just be surviving and evolved versions of Gigantopithecus. But there are some obvious problems with this, Andy told the Star. The most obvious difficulty is the subjective speculation upon which the physiological dimensions of this animal have been reconstructed. If it were still in existence today, it might be more gorilla-like than Bigfoot-like in appearance, and very likely, although not categorically, quadrupedal. Andy did, however, float the idea that evolved forms of ancient apes might be responsible for historical encounters. Andy gives a second category, prehistoric human. In a similar vein, Andy suggested Bigfoot-like beasts could be a form of prehistoric human. He gave the example of tall Neanderthals found in Iraq, but added these beasts might even be the descendants of a human-like race of apes, altogether known in the fossil record. Andy said, indeed, the Caucasus have produced fossil remains of Homo erectus, archaic humans, and Neanderthal-type fossils, which may seem enough to justify this assertion. However, he added, there is little in these scant fossil finds that tells us exactly what these beings would have looked like, and therefore whether they could be responsible for hairy man legends. The third one, if you're ready for this, Jess, and this is the one that kind of makes my third grader in me giggle, is Randy Aliens.
What?
Yeah. Andy says theories about the origination of these animals, and especially our difficulty in discovering them, range from the sensible to the surreal. Among the favorites is that the beast is some type of Nephilim or demonic giant, transcendental holy man, or even an extraterrestrial human hybrid seeded by Bored and Randy aliens eons ago, while on some debauched interplanetary spring break. I'm up for that one. Why not? And these hairy humanoids are the descendants of their unwanted interspecies offspring. Can you imagine if they're really just alien bastards? I mean, come on.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, yeah. On a somewhat more serious note, the similarities between the supposed appearance and behavior of Bigfoot-like legends across different cultures suggest millennia of colonial endeavors and expanding trade might have spread tales from the ancient world, which have been reinterpreted and then spread again. Andy identified that half-human, half-goat fawn from Greek and Roman mythology, or the horse-man hybrid satyr from Greek mythology, as possible starting points. These legends were then reinterpreted over centuries with the cultural landscape of the former colony until they took on a wholly new identity, he theorized. In other words, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, and Bigfoot's probably just alien and a monkey getting it on. So there you go. I found that story a little interesting and figured I'd throw it in the alien portion of our news. So there you go.
That's a new theory to me, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Why not? I tell you what, let's take our break a little early. We come back. We've got some interesting stories on the other side of this, including, if you're ready for this, Jess, in our AI section, AI has entered into the rap wars and the rap battles of the day. It turns out in the rap beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, he's not only channeled one dead rapper, but one that's still alive.
Well, I can't wait for this story.
It's a big one, my friend. And it is, how do I put it? The quote from the one that's still alive was pretty interesting because he kind of shrugged it off. I think he was high. And then we've got other stories coming up, including a new Nessie sighting. That's coming up later on in the show. The mystery of King Tut's Pharaoh's curse has finally been solved. We'll talk about that. Yeah, that's coming up later in the program. And like I told you, we're going to end today's show with an interesting conundrum. That conundrum is this. This lady's boyfriend slept with his dying friend as her final wish, and she can't help but feel jealous about it. We'll talk about, is it the final gift of love, or is it a reason to get jealous? I can't wait to hear your opinion on this, Jess.
I'm going to have strong opinions about this one.
All right. So we'll talk about that at the end of the program when we come back. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday. No Parashare today, but we'll bring that back next week. We want your Parashare stories as well. By the way, folks, if you have Parashare stories, send them in, tim@darknessradio.com. Also, you can click on that blue button at our website, darknessradioshow.com. You have 2 minutes to leave your voice note. If you need more time, click the blue button again. You got another 2 minutes. Either way, voice note or produce one up. If you have your own home studio, produce one up for us. Send it in like we've had other people do. We'll play it right here on the show. But we want your Parashare stories. Send them in to us. We'll play them right here on the show or read them right here on the show. When we come back, we got Nessie. We've got AI. We've got ghosts. And we got people fooling around with dying people. It's coming up next on a Supernatural News Wednesday right here on the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is your co-host, Jessica Freeberg. Boy, it's the middle of the week. It's hump day. It's such a nice day outside. It's going to be 70 degrees today, Jess.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's been raining last week over the weekend. It was kind of a cruddy weekend, but man, we're going to have sunshine today. I'm going to sit out on the porch. Logan and I are going to hang out. We're going to chase Arnold away. We're going to keep him away from the peanuts today. It's going to be a wonderful day. Sunshine and a little bit of breeze. And I might even eat lunch out on the patio. And can you just feel those sunny vibes?
Just, it sounds lovely, Tim.
It does, doesn't it? It just sounds so neat. And, oh my God, what?
No. Oh.
I guess it's that time again.
I guess I'll listen. Lay it on me.
All right. Got to thank our listeners for sending this one. And by the way, if you have a story for us that you absolutely want to make me scream over, you can send it in as well, tim@darknessradio.com. I think this one came from Brandon, if I remember right. AI-powered home security system strikes back with paintballs and tear gas, Jess. So yeah, you might want to think about how you upgrade your home security system. A new high-tech deterrent to keep intruders away, by the way, if you're looking to upgrade the old home system. A company from Slovenia called PaintCam is shaking things up in the security world. if it has come up with this wild new gadget. It's called the Paint Cam Eve, if you're looking for it online. It's not just another security camera watching over your house. This thing packs a punch with paintball and tear gas projectiles to really give intruders a surprise that they won't forget. Are you putting this thing in your home?
No, because I have teenage kids. You're trying to sneak home past curfew and they get doused in tear gas.
That's the best reason to put it in. They come in the house and try to sneak in past curfew and you pelt them with paintballs?
No, I'd just rather they sneak in and I pretend like I don't know.
No way. I'm putting it in. So how does this high deterrent work? Well, it's easy. The heart of Eve's capability lies in its sophisticated computer vision technology. It can identify human faces and even animals. Oh no, I don't want them hitting the chipmunks. That would be horrible if they hit Logan in the face. That would be, oh.
And that would be so sad.
He's just going for seeds and then. Poor little guy. Even in low light conditions, distinguishing between friends and foes, supposedly. I say supposedly because AI isn't real good about distinguishing faces.
Exactly.
Yeah. The system, which comes in three models, Eve, Eve Plus, and Eve Pro, allows homeowners to categorize visitors via an app interface, making decisions about who is welcome and who is not, right?
No, I don't want AI deciding that.
But the most intriguing feature, when Eve detects an intruder, it issues a stern warning, and if it's not heeded, it proceeds to launch paintballs or tear gas. It has levels.
No, thank you.
It has levels, Jess. It has levels. I love it. It has levels. There's user control and responsibility on this deal, too. PaintCam does offer users a significant degree of control. The system alerts the homeowner when an unknown person is detected in the company of someone known, rather, asking whether to take the shot or not. It'll ask you if it wants to, if you want it to or not. It'll alert you.
You have to give it permission.
Yeah, you got to flip the switch. So you have to take responsibility for it. That sucks. So if someone's standing outside, you're the one who's like, oh yeah, engage, do it.
Yeah, that's the neighbor I don't like. Hit him.
Yeah. You know, so when the Jehovah's Witnesses are at the door.
Oh, no.
This feature places a heavy responsibility on the user, it says here, turning home security into a more interactive and potentially morally complex activity. How users will navigate these choices, especially in high-pressure situations, is yet to be seen. Well, I don't think it's yet to be seen. I think we know.
It's going to end badly.
It is going to end badly. It says here, ethical and legal implications. While the prospect of a security camera that can shoot at intruders may sound appealing to some, it does raise significant ethical and legal questions. The use of force, even non-lethal, by an autonomous system could lead to unintended consequences. For instance, what happens if the system mistakenly identifies a neighbor or a child retrieving a lost toy as a threat? Well, then they had it coming, I guess. No, I'm kidding.
Stay off my yard.
That's right. You're on my property there, Scooter. The legal ramifications of such scenarios remain unclear, making Eve a subject of debate among security experts and civil rights advocates alike. They talk a little bit about market potential and challenges. I don't think there's a potential here. I think they have the potential to make some money like that. You know,
it's going to cause some problems, I think.
I think you're right. Eve will be available on a Kickstarter program ASAP. It's out there now. As far as Kickstarter goes, Eve's super early bird cost is $1,275.
Oh, no, that's crazy.
It's not cheap. That's the Eve. The Eve Plus is $1,490. The Eve Pro is $1,920.
Wow, that's a really expensive paintball gun.
Which just goes to show you, if you want to shoot paintballs at people, it's going to cost you.
I will say, my husband would love to have this for whoever is letting their dog poop in our yard and not picking it up.
Oh, you you're gonna notice $2,000 is gone out of your the minute he hears this.
He's always like, can you watch on the Ring camera to see who it is? I'm like, what am I gonna do if I see it? Like, I'm gonna like hunt them down and tell them to pick up their poop. Just pick it up and move on.
He's gonna put a super soaker in your hands and tell you to just bombard them the minute you see him out there. Hit the dog first. Stop the stream of crap.
I do have some paintball guns downstairs. I suppose I could be my own AI.
You could call your
system.
Call yourself Eve and go out there and start bombarding them.
That wouldn't be weird at all.
Not at all. No. I mean, why not? It's kind of cowardly to hide behind a system and hit somebody with a paintball. I mean, if you're going to do it, go out there and shoot them.
Just go out guns a-blazing.
That's right.
Paintball guns a-blazing, that is.
That's right. Don't depend on AI to do it. Do it yourself. I mean, come on. Meanwhile, scientists have developed a toxic AI that comes up with harmful answers to disturbing questions.
Why?
Because they're dicks. That's why.
You nailed it.
Yep. Researchers at MIT are training AI chatbots to generate harmful and hateful responses as a method of tackling toxic content by using the prompts to filter out dangerous responses. Artificial intelligence chatbots have had unprecedented success in answering questions and providing virtual assistance, but scientists are concerned with the potential for large language models, or LLMs, to provide users with misinformation, hateful and harmful content too. For example, while ChatGPT could successfully write a computer program if asked, it also has the potential to provide instructions on how to make a bomb if requested.
Oh, God. Oh, come on.
It does. Have you ever tried it?
No, I'm not crazy. I don't want to even know.
According to researchers at MIT, to combat these potentially problematic chatbots, they've come up with a solution by using another AI that's also dangerous and toxic. It may sound bizarre at first, but the idea, which uses a method that replicates human curiosity, is to get the AI to provide increasingly dangerous responses to disturbing prompts so that they can then be used to identify how to filter out the potentially harmful content and replace it with safer answers. In other words, get dangerouser so you can filter out the more dangerous bullshit.
Can they do this to trolls online too?
I hope so.
That would be nice.
Yeah. According to a paper shared on an, I believe it's, how do they pronounce this? Is it AR-10-4 or is it AR-AXIV? I forget how you pronounce this. The new programming, known as Curiosity-Driven Red Teaming, CRT, uses AI to generate inappropriate and potentially dangerous prompts you could ask an AI chatbot. From here, those prompts are used to filter out the dangerous content. Those prompts, which could include how to murder my husband. Are you paying attention, Jess? Among other dangerous questions are used to train. And I'm just saying in case the rock calls. You never know. Among other dangerous questions are used to train the system on what content to restrict and then are used or when used by real people. Researchers probed further to ensure a foolproof and safe AI user experience and invited AI to generate a broader spectrum of dangerous prompts, more than those manually thought up by human operators. Inevitably, this meant a greater selection of negative responses and negative prompts to program technology to understand and avoid. In addition, the system was also programmed to generate even more prompts and explore the consequences of each prompt to find new words, phrases, meanings, results, and further prompts. So they just go deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. The idea to get AI to seek out those harmful prompts in addition to human red teaming is to cover a broader spectrum of potentially dangerous content that humans may not have thought of, and consequently avoid possible unwanted and unsafe responses that could have been missed during the programming by human operators alone. So they're just going into all kinds of buckets of crazy to figure out if you can get into extreme buckets of crazy and try not to set off the computer to give you buckets of crazy answers.
Well, yeah, I think this is maybe a good thing, though, right? Because
it's supposed to be
kind of, yeah, monitoring what kind of horrible things we can access online, which makes it hard for me when I'm writing a book and I have to figure out, like, what you use to dissolve a body or something.
Right. But see, but here it takes this away from you, though, Jess. If you're doing research to try and get into the mind of Buckets of Crazy.
Yeah.
You can't get into that mindset because they've right. taken that away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes my search history look like I'm a bad person, but I'm really just a writer.
True. True. But then I see they're trying to take that away from the general public so they can't get into it. But when you're truly in that mindset, you're going to come up with it anyways.
Yeah. You just have to watch the ID channel.
Right. Exactly. or you just need to find the inspiration somewhere. Right.
You'll figure it out. Right. Yeah. If you want to do something terrible, you're going to figure it out.
That's right. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to go to a computer and get it because, first of all, those are the easiest things to trace in the world.
I know. And those are my favorite stories when you're, you know, listening to true crime podcasts, like when you do them or you're watching something and they go in and investigate and they find these search histories of like how to kill my husband or whatever. It's like, and then their husband's killed and they're like, no, wasn't me.
Wait a minute. Why do we keep going back to killing husbands? No,
I'm just kidding. I love my husband. I will never kill my husband. Not even for The Rock.
As far as he knows, I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but it's, you know, I mean, the computer isn't the first place we should be looking if you're going to be trying to. Although, you know what? It is a popular trope. I mean, as much as we say, no, that shouldn't be the first place you're looking, it's amazing how often people go to the computer to look for that answer.
It is. It often is. It's crazy. It's like, do you not know that they're going to find that? They're going to look at your computer. That and like text messages, you know, they're texting each other about, you know, what time to show up and kill the person. And then they think that those messages can't be traced.
Right,
come on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we do a segment on Tuesdays called Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. I'm just
that's
saying.
Right. Yep. Keep being stupid criminals. We like it.
That's right. Speaking of being stupid, Jess. The Rap Wars are back.
Okay.
The 2024 version. Have you heard about this Drake Kendrick Lamar rap war?
I heard a little something about it, yes.
Okay, so they're going back and forth with diss tracks, which aren't the same as the Biggie Tupac stuff, but now Tupac has been dragged into it.
Yes.
Even though he's been dead for 25 years more?
Oh, that makes me feel old, but yeah.
Yeah, me too, me too. So here's the deal. Drake makes a diss track for Kendrick Lamar, but in the process, drags in Tupac and Snoop Dogg by using AI.
I mean, can you do that? Did he get permission? Snoop Dogg's still around.
No, he didn't get permission at all.
What?
In the meantime, Tupac's estate says, oh, no, Drake. First of all, Tupac would have never co-signed on dissing Kendrick Lamar because Kendrick Lamar is thoroughly behind Compton and Tupac was West Coast at the end. So he wouldn't have never co-signed. And Snoop Dogg's alive and he would have never co-signed on dissing Kendrick Lamar. In fact,
you have to get permission at the very least from the living and the estate.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the story. Tupac Shakur's estate is laying down the law on Drake. In fact, they not only threatened to drag him into court, they threatened to sue him for using an AI-generated version of the late rapper's voice for a diss track aimed at Kendrick Lamar. TMZ obtained the cease and desist letter fired off by the attorney for Tupac's estate, Howard King. And it called out Drake for the AI verse on Taylor Made Freestyle, saying not only is the record a flagrant violation of Tupac's publicity and the estate's legal rights, it also is a blatant abuse of the legacy of one of the greatest hip hop artists of all time. The estate goes on to say it would never have given approval for this, and it issues an ultimatum, taking down the track in less than 24 hours and explain how it was made or else. Now, it did get taken down, although I do have a version of it in front of me, and I'm wondering if I should play it, because supposedly it was supposed to be taken down, yeah. When Team Tupac's lawyers said they'd been authorized to pursue all of its legal remedies if they can't resolve the matter amicably, In Drake's track, AI Tupac raps, "Kendrick, we need you, the West Coast savior, engraving your name in some hip-hop history if you deal with this viciously. You seem a little nervous about all this publicity." First of all, it's not a good line. It's just not Tupac, right?
No, no.
As well as Tupac, Drake's diss track also included vocals from Snoop Dogg, all through the power of AI. The real Snoop reacted to the track. This is what he said on IG. I think it was in the middle of a cloudy haze because he said, "They did what? When? How? Are you sure? Y'all have a good night." He didn't seem
to love him.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's pretty much in a smoky daze at the time. Here's the deal. At that point, the song even ruffled feathers with Tupac's brother, Mopreme Shakur, who told TMZ that Drake was weaponizing Tupac's voice just for a rap battle, and it didn't fly with him whatsoever. He was not pleased. So, yeah, nobody happy about this. And here it brings this up, Jess, the fact that, I mean, they're using AI for all kinds of devious reasons, but now you're bringing it into not only the alive people, but dead as well, and you're trying to not only weaponize it for a rap battle, but now you're making money on it. And blatantly using it for your side of a rap battle. And everybody knows Tupac didn't come back and he didn't side with you in this rap battle. Everybody knows that.
It is wrong for a multitude of reasons, for sure.
I don't get it, you know, there's a couple of different rap battles going on right now. I know some people in the audience may know it, some people may not. You've got Quavo and Chris Brown right now going at it. But when you blatantly grab somebody who's been dead for that long and say, "Oh yeah, he's with me," come on. And then you try and use AI, it's weak. It's just weak to say, "Oh no, he's got my back." Well, you never knew Tupac. You were sucking on your mama's tit at the time. How are we supposed to believe you and Tupac met, much less, you know, "Oh yeah, no, Tupac's got me," you know? Come on. It's just, I'm trying to see if I can bring up a sample of the song, or if they've taken it on offline already, because it's been up. The song's been up now for, I want to say it's been up for over a week. And if it's been up for that long, I think they might have taken it down already. Let's see. Well, we'll skip that, I guess. So that's the name of that tune. Moving on. It gets better and better, Jess. You ready for this?
I have to beat him.
I think I'm saving the best for last here. Speaking of coming from the grave, have you heard of the AI death calculator?
No. I don't like the sound of this at all.
There's an urgent warning out there for anyone using the scarily accurate AI death calculator.
Oh, no.
The team behind the AI death calculator that can predict, well, when you'll die, issued a stark warning for those keen to find out their life expectancy. Danish researchers unveiled the Life2Vec AI chatbot in December. They said the program can accurately predict not only how long you'll live, but also how rich you'll be. Oh, I don't know if I want to know this. Do you want to know this?
I don't know. I might want to know how rich I'll be. I'm optimistic, you know?
Yeah.
Although that might crush my soul, and then I'll just stop writing altogether.
Yeah, me too. I think I might give up the ghost at that point. Now, a number of copycat apps are appearing online that appear to be scams, while the original chatbot has not been released to the public. The team have put out a warning that scammers have created fraudulent websites imitating the chatbot, which have nothing to do with us and our work. So be careful, they warn. They say the original software is private and it contains sensitive data and is stored at Statistics Denmark, so the bot cannot be accessed via the internet. On their site, they urge readers to be careful. "We are aware of Life2Vec social media accounts, and there is at least one fraudulent website, they said. We are not affiliated with these or any other entities that claim to use our technology. Fraudulent websites may be intended to steal data and other sensitive information, such as email addresses, phone numbers, or credit card details. They could be even used to spread malware. Life2Vec, VEC, was created by scientists in Denmark in the U.S. They fed data from Danish health and demographic records for 6 million people who were aged from 35 or between 35 and 65 into the model. Around half of the participants died between 2016 and 2020. However, researchers found that Life2Vec predicted who would die and who would live with an accuracy of 78%.
Wow, that's crazy.
The AI used information such as income, profession, and medical history to determine how long people will live, as well as social life events they may experience in the years to come. It could predict health outcomes, said Sune Lehmann, who is a professor at the Technical University of Denmark, DTU, and lead author of the Life2Vec study. So it could predict fertility or obesity, or you could maybe predict who will get cancer or who doesn't get cancer. But it could also predict if you're going to make a lot of money.
The answer is yes. I'm losing my voice. Can you hear that?
Yes. You're so excited you lost your voice. I'm curious. See, I'm curious, but I don't know if I want to know my fate within 78%.
No, I don't. I just want to live and be happy.
I don't know if I post this in the description of the program or not.
Well, I don't think people can access it yet, so that's a good thing.
I don't know. Like, there's a,
well, you can only get the scammy ones.
You know what? Let me see, because there's a highlighted thing here where if you click it, oh, no, it just goes to the artificial intelligence page. Okay. No, so you can't access it off the article. So
no, you have to know someone who's, like, involved to be part of the study, I think.
Okay. All right. So
we're safe so far, Tim.
Woo! All right, then. Fine.
Mine will come out. You're dying tomorrow. What?
I think I'd freak out. Honestly, I don't think there's enough time in a day for me if I found that out. I don't know what I'd do, Jess, to be honest with you.
Sit in the backyard with your squirrels.
No, not with Arnold. I wouldn't spend my time with Arnold. I'd spend it with Logan. I would crawl up
just
under
Logan.
I'd crawl up under the house with Logan. Him and I, we'd just sit and eat peanuts. That would be it.
Crawl up under the house.
Yeah, that would just be me and Logan under the house eating peanuts. It'd be a sad life, really. I just say it.
Your sad last day.
My sad last day. Yeah. Let's see. We just have a few more stories left here for today's show. I know it's going quick, isn't it?
It really is.
Going quick today. We're trying to get her up and moving here today. A new Loch Ness monster sighting out there at the Loch. I think I spit something up. I'm sorry.
I think I saw your lung fall on the...
Yeah. Right there out on the counter. Fresh Loch Ness monster sighting for you kids, hot off the oven. It's the guy who's out there all the time, pretty much on the webcam.
Just that dude, that same dude.
Yeah, it's Ian O'Fadigan, who's out there again looking at the webcam. I think that's all he does. He looks at the webcam and he's like, ugh, there he is again. So monster hunter Ian O'Fadigan is out there again. He's had his eyes on the water for as long as we can remember with the webcam. He's out there monitoring the lock and said his heart jumped when he allegedly spotted the beast. He's seen this thing like 15,000 times. And he's like, ah, my heart jumped again. but he's seen this thing like 15,000 times.
Yeah, it's always exciting. It's like when my dog realizes it has a tail. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Ah, there's my tail again. So this new sighting described the creature as big as three men has been reported by, it says, an enthusiast who claimed to have spotted a giant beast. It's, you know, Fadigan, folks. It's just him again. He was monitoring the lock by using his webcam when he claimed to have seen a large black shape breaking the water's surface. He firmly believes it was Nessie. He always does. The elusive creature that is supposed to inhabit Loch Ness. As he as he prepares to visit the lock in person for the Quest weekend, an event where Nessie believers try to track down the beast. Mr. O'Fadigan claimed, or his claimed sighting signals hopeful expectation for the gathering. Ian shared his experience. He said, "I noticed a spot in the water causing a disturbance at the edge of the webcam screen to the right. My heart jumped because I thought this disturbance was not the norm." It's Nessie. Oh, God. I'm going to show you a picture here, Jess.
Okay.
That's what he saw. That's Nessie.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah. What does that look like to you, Jess?
Not much, sir. Not much at all.
It kind of looks like... have you ever seen a porn movie with Long Dong Silver? It looks like they...
I've not seen that movie. No,
It looks like they blurred it out for TV, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's super blurry. I was kind of thinking it was just my glasses. I'm putting on my old lady specs here. I'm like, I don't think they're strong enough.
No. Don't, no. You're,
looks
you're,
like a bunch of nothing to me.
You're seeing it correctly.
Okay.
Yep. It's blurred out. It's very blurry. Yep. I'm not even going to post this on the description of the show.
Because, all right, Ian, do better. Give us something more.
Do beer, be doer. Do better. I can't even speak now. I'm so upset.
Do beer, do better. Either way.
Doobie doer. I'm so mad right now at Ian O'Fadigan. Stunned and convinced that what he observed was Long Dong Silver's erect penis blurred out for television. That he was like, ah, there it is. It's huge. Ian estimated the creature to be around 18 feet long and fully erect, evidently. There's no known. He said, there's no known creatures that are that huge in Loch Ness that size. It could be the Loch Ness monster. The sighting is very unusual, he said, and that itself puts it into the realm of Nessie, but it needs further analysis. Well, not when it's that blurry. I can tell you now.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not sitting around all day looking at it.
No, pretty lame.
And by the way, that's what she said. Just saying, I'm not sitting around all day looking at it. Not if you're going to put it in my face like that, if you know what I mean. Just saying. I'm not spending any more time on that story. I'll tell you that. Tell you that right now. Let's move on. Here's a bizarre theory that happened last week. I love me some conspiracy theory here, Jess. I'll tell
I
you.
I do too.
Much.
Yes.
So let's talk about one that happened last week. People in London went absolutely nuts when two things happened during one day. Now imagine, if you will, Jess, you're hanging out in London, and all of a sudden you see a couple of blood-covered horses run by, and Big Ben stops.
No.
That's got to be the end of the world to some people in London. Right?
That's terrifying, yeah.
Right, okay. They thought it was an omen of the end times. At least a few people on TikTok. Now, I'm not saying people on TikTok are the brightest in the world.
I mean, some are. You got some smart stuff coming out of there, but also you've got not so smart stuff.
That's right. But some people who saw this thought that there was a superstitious theory that happened, especially people on social media, when they saw these blood-covered horses in the middle of London, on top of the fact that Big Ben, the clock on Big Ben, actually stopped.
That's crazy. That's quite a combo. I mean, I can see where they would be alarmed.
Yeah. So here's the story. A bizarre superstitious theory has spread on social media as people wildly claim that the blood-soaked horses that ran wild in London and Big Ben's clock stopping are dark omens. Now, the story is dated April 25th. This happened on April 24th. The UK's capital witnessed blood-soaked horses and the iconic Big Ben's clock coming to a standstill on both happening on the same day, consequently leading some, it says here, barmy folks. I don't know what barmy means, but I've never used the word. I love using the word barmy. I don't know what it means.
It's my new favorite.
Yes, barmy. I love learning a new word. Someone will email me to tell me what it means, I'm sure. It led to some barmy folks to predict doom. On April 24th, four people were hurt after two horses escaped from an army training exercise. Reportedly, the animals had been covered in blood before they bolted, causing their riders to fall and one soldier to be injured while they galloped through the city center, which is spooky to see as it is, right?
Absolutely, for sure.
I have a picture of one of the horses in question. If you saw this white horse, Jess, right, galloping through a square, you'd be a little alarmed, right?
For sure. I mean, it's white and it's covered in bright, bright red blood.
Incredibly spooky. Okay. So this white horse is galloping through London. So adding to the alarm, London's historic monument, Big Ben, unexpectedly stopped. The fully refurbished clock went completely silent just after 9 a.m. with its hands frozen in place.
That would be a creepy sight as well.
Right. The sight of the stationary clock, accompanied by a pair of runaway domesticated animals, were perceived by some as signals of an imminent catastrophe, a dark period for the capital predicted to endure hundreds of years. That according to the Daily Star. Multiple Twitter users saw fit to warn about woe approaching the United Kingdom soon. All we need now is all the ravens to leave the Tower of London, and we got a full set of portents of woe, one joked. Another user commented, I'm not a superstitious person, but this is absolutely the sort of omen which ushers in 500 years of darkness, suffering, and strife. I can see that,
But how do you conclude that? I mean, like, is there something foretelling of blood-soaked horses and the clock stopping? Or is it just like, oh, that's startling. Clearly 500 years of misfortune.
At the very least startling. At the very most, there's got to be some psychic fortune teller out there that was like, oh, doom and gloom and the king is going to die soon. I mean, you know, something like that. Well, folks were quick to see the humor. Others were spooked by what they interpreted as an omen, being less than eager to joke about what they believed to be the start of the end times. One wrote, a black horse and a white horse covered in blood running through central London. That's not a funny occurrence. That's an omen, because it was two horses. It was the black horse and the white horse together, both covered in blood.
I mean, I can see it being an omen if, like, there was something foretelling of that exact thing happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, it's just kind of a random occurrence that is creepy and cool, but maybe not cool, but creepy.
Yes, very creepy indeed. Someone else said, a black horse and a white horse covered in blood running through central London. That's not a funny occurrence. That's an omen. That was written by one concerned citizen. An equally worried Londoner chimed in, loose bloodied horses in central London feels like an omen in the end times. If end of days was upon us, at least real world fallout shelters are at hand for those who can track them down. That's what another person said. According to one survival expert, nuclear shelters similar to the ones showcased in the Fallout video game series are at people's disposal if you know where to look. Although unwilling to divulge further, Robert Vicino, head honcho of survival company Vivos, hinted at a bunker located beneath Denver Airport, which is not in London, Robert. I'm just saying.
Get it straight, man.
Yeah, that's not going to help anybody in England anytime soon. But yeah, just an odd occurrence on April 24th happening at the same time. Just figured it was
very interesting.
Yeah, worth reporting. And it had people freaked out.
Can I tell you something randomly kind of freaky?
Yeah.
Music just started playing in the other room.
Really? At the same time we were reading that story?
I'm alone. I don't know what's happening right now.
Do you have one of those ALEXAs that I can't talk about because I have one sitting in front of me?
Yes, I do. But why would it start playing? That's so weird. Like, you're reading this story and all of a sudden I just hear, I think it's Frank Sinatra, like, crooning in the background.
Is it My Way or The Best of Times, Worst of Times?
Can't really tell. I feel like I'm going to have to scream. I'm going to have to go on mute and scream at her.
You know what? Why don't you do that while I start reading this next story and find out what the song is? Because sometimes it can be related to what you're talking about in the background.
I'm going to go have to peek. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll talk about this next story, which has to do with the mystery of the King Tut's Pharaoh's curse and how it might have been finally solved. interestingly enough, we're talking about end times. And, you know, at one time in the 1920s, it was thought that the King Tut's curse might have been an end of the world type deal. More than 20 people who excavated King Tutankhamun's tomb in the 1920s later died young from a range of maladies. The discovery of the perfectly preserved tomb of King Tutankhamun in 1922 by Howard Carter was and still remains one of the most important archaeological finds in history. Did you figure out what the song was, Jess?
It was Porcelain by Moby.
Porcelain by Moby?
What the heck?
Okay, now I gotta check something real quick here before I start this story. So if we go to
And I'm sorry, I know Moby doesn't sound like Frank Sinatra.
No, he doesn't. No.
Just barely hear it. It was like piano playing, and it was super creepy because it's like these runs of piano, really soft and melodic, and all of a sudden coming from my kitchen. How weird.
Okay, so the song Porcelain by Moby is about how life is no longer nice anymore and your only escape is through dreams. The sad, tragic twist with this song is that this is crazy. I'm on songmeanings.com. That is crazy.
Okay. That is crazy. I'm going to have to sage my house.
So it's about, so the sad, tragic twist with the song is that the person in it is so out of it emotionally that his dreams aren't an escape anymore. As for the background music, the person says, I think that the person is singing, go on, it's all right. That's what we all have to do sometimes, I guess. The song essentially is about how life is no longer nice anymore and your only escape is through dreams.
Wow, we didn't have a pair share and the universe just created one.
Right?
Okay. I don't know.
That is freaky.
It is kind of weird. And we do have a lot at our house. We have a lot of paranormal stuff that happens because we have a house full of very sensitive mediums, if you want to call us that. But I usually try to keep it locked down so stuff doesn't like wander in. And maybe something wandered in. I don't know. Who's trying to tell me something?
Let me read the actual lyrics. Okay. The lyrics as printed out. Hey, woman, it's all right. Hey, woman, it's all right. In my dreams, I'm dying all the time. Then I wake. It's kaleidoscopic mind. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to lie. So this is goodbye. This is goodbye. Tell the truth. You never wanted me. Tell me. In my dreams, I'm jealous all the time. When I wake, I'm going out of my mind, going out of my mind.
It's weird. And I just, you guys play that in after you listen to this and just tell me if that's not a creepy sound, because it was so creepy. It was like this just creepy melody coming from nowhere. Okay. Well,
weird. It's not, I had something similar, and I've told it on the show before when I adopted my daughter. The ghost in my house played a kind of like a congratulations daddy song on my ALEXA. But it was a creepy one. It was like a creepy father-daughter song, almost like it was kind of mocking me. Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was kind of weird, but I think it was kind of jokey too. It was supposed to be jokey. Kind of like, hey, daddy, you know, type deal. But it was
I think the spirits have a good sense of humor, I've noticed. But
yeah, but it was weird. It was weird. Anyways, let's get back to the story. The story is, has the mystery of the King Tut Pharaoh's curse finally been solved? So the discovery of the perfectly preserved tomb of King Tutankhamun in 1922 by Howard Carter was and still remains one of the most important archaeological finds in history. Unlike most Egyptian tombs, which had been looted long ago, this one has remained untouched since antiquity, providing a unique look at the full extent and splendor of the boy king's burial. But while there was much to celebrate about the discovery, rumors began to circulate of a pharaoh's curse after multiple members of the excavation team later died before their time. These included Howard Carter himself, who died of a heart attack in 1939 after suffering from Hodgkin's lymphoma, while Lord Carnarvon, who walked through the treasure rooms, died a mere 5 months later from blood poisoning. This trend would continue for some time, with dozens of people involved in excavation dropping dead from all manner of causes, ranging from strokes and heart attacks to pneumonia and asphyxia. But could there really have been a literal curse at work? Now, according to a new study headed up by Ross Fellows, Ross Fellows, it sounds like someone from Saturday Night Live. I'm Brian Fellows, remember?
It does.
Tracy Morgan.
It's like a made-up name.
Yeah. There may, in fact, be a conventional explanation for the phenomenon, and it is all to do with excessive radiation exposure. It has nothing to do with a curse.
Right, and that makes a lot of sense.
It turns out that some Egyptian tombs actually contain radioactive and hazardous elements that have had the potential to prove highly damaging to human health given enough time and exposure. Those who worked with King Tut's tomb likely received a heavy dose of that radiation. Evidence of radioactivity has been found in other tombs as well, but this has typically been put down to the natural background radiation in the rock. Reported strong radiation as radon in tomb ruins has been loosely attributed to the natural background from the parent bedrock. However, the levels are unusually high and localized, which is not consistent with the characteristics of the limestone bedrock, but implies some other unnatural sources. So really, the curse that everyone's talking about is simple radon radioactivity.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
There you go. See, all things are explainable. I shouldn't say all
things. Well, maybe not all things.
I'm trying to get away with it. Oh, see, all things are explainable. And then Jess is like, no, not really. Mm-mm, no. This one may be one of the ones that is or isn't. A top psychologist out there is saying that talking to ghosts is special and can be good for you.
I think so. I would agree with that.
Top psychologist Dr. Callum Cooper said the use of psychic mediums after losing a loved one can be beneficial to grieving people, but should only last a limited period of time. Grieving is a highly personal experience that can affect people differently, and some turn to psychic mediums to try and contact lost loved ones. Now, top psychologist Dr. Callum Cooper said being in contact with those beyond the grave is a special experience that can give people comfort. Some celebrities have admitted to using mediums and getting regular readings, but Dr. Cooper said the use of mediums should only last a limited period of time after losing a loved one. The expert said if you're really suffering from a loss that much, go ahead and do it. It's a special experience. It's given me something special that tells me I don't need to worry. They're around me, they're supporting me, and that this person is watching over me beyond death. Dr. Cooper of the University of Northampton warned people should not become dependent on mediums, however. He added, eventually you've got to cope with your own bereavement. You shouldn't be going beyond 12 months. I think that's important. That's an important timestamp.
I think so.
12 months is a good boundary. That's a good limit to set yourself.
Yeah. Or if you're going to come back after 12 months, it's like a stop in occasionally, you know, like once a year or something.
Do you think? I don't know. Because then you tend to want to hang on. You tend to want to, you know, you say, okay, it's kind of like the alcoholic saying I can have one drink a year.
Yeah. I think everybody has the potential to connect with your loved ones without going necessarily to a psychic medium. Absolutely. I think that can be a nice way of doing it just for confirmation. But I feel like they're with us all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 You can look for signs yourself. That's fine. It's just to keep going back to one person you know has that connection. It's like getting a fix, you know?
Yeah. That's true. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. The good doctor also says people should also be wary of anyone hashing out generic tales, the senior lecturer said. He added, if they're talking to the dead, they should be coming out with information that is specific to you. Some of the most common symptoms of grieving include shock and numbness, sadness, tiredness or exhaustion, anger and guilt. The NHS explains these feelings may not be there all the time, and powerful feelings may appear unexpectedly. Help is available through bereavement support organizations. This is over in the UK, such as CRUSE, as well as psychological support to anyone needing it. And you can also find free mental well-being audio guides online. For most people, grief will become less intense over time, but for some, it can last many months or years. This is known as prolonged grief disorder or complicated grief. Symptoms of that include very difficult feelings such as sadness or guilt for over 6 months, spending a lot of time thinking about the person who's died, difficulty accepting the death, not being able to return to everyday activities, and suicidal thoughts. The NHS says you are more likely to have prolonged grief disorder if the death was traumatic or sudden and unexpected. Seeing a GP or general practitioner is recommended if you experience any symptoms of prolonged grief disorder. Northamptonshire-based author and podcaster Shelley F. Knight, author of Good Grief, The A to Z Approach of Modern Day Grief Healing, previously told the Daily Mirror, a lot of what happens to us in life and what we're exposed to can help us in how we cope with death and loss. If we have a lot of positive talk and openness around life and loss, then we can grieve more openly, or we can grieve more openly and heal quicker. There are other tools here in the United States as well to deal with grief and loss. I mean, you can also see an individual counselor as well and get grief and loss tools as well to deal with the loss of a loved one. But yeah, talking it out, talk therapy is probably the best. Talking within your family is best, you know, sharing pictures and having a picture of that loved one, I think, out and having that memory there, being able to talk to them out loud sometimes is sometimes the best thing too.
Yeah.
And getting
out. Just that knowing of that they are still with you. I mean, I truly believe that with all my heart, and you can still speak to them. But yeah, it's so hard losing someone in the physical space. It's hard to conceptualize, you know, that the energy of their soul still being with you and how special that is when you'd really just want to give them a hug.
Right. And the most important thing is to be able to release those feelings when you have those feelings. I think a lot of people deny that. They hold those feelings in and they think that I have to be brave. I have to be strong. I have to do it for somebody else. You don't have to. There's nobody else to hold those feelings in for. It's just you. It's just you dealing with that. And it's your feelings. You have to be responsible and take responsibility for those feelings. So in the end, you're the one dealing with it. You're the one that has to get through this and get to the other side of this. And in the end, they do say time heals all wounds. It doesn't heal them. Trust me. It doesn't heal anything. Time creates a scar that helps as a bit of a salve on those wounds. That hurt never goes away. It just lessens. So if you learn that in time, you will start to feel a little better. You can learn to deal a little easier right now, but learn to feel that hurt and know what that hurt feels like and process it as it hurts. So that's, I don't know, a little bit from you to me, me to you, something like that. speaking of dealing with that hurt and the knowing that someone is going to die, it brings us to our last story, Jess. The conundrum that I told you is coming, the monster at the end of the book.
So, oh, man.
I saw this story and I thought, you know what? Every once in a while, I like to throw that what if scenario out there to see how people deal with things. And it's an interesting thing to end our show with today. And an interesting scenario, a little water cooler talk for you. Maybe if you're at work and you're talking with your fellow employees, a little something to say, hey, what would you do in this situation? It's a little salacious talk for you today. So here goes, Jess. I'm going to ask you the question, my friend, and see how you would deal with this. I had a hard time thinking what I would do in this situation because I don't know. I think I know how I would deal with this. And I was surprised as how I reacted to this. So here's the scenario. Here's the story as I saw it. The headline is, my boyfriend slept with his dying friend as her final wish. I can't help but feel jealous. A woman was left feeling jealous when she allegedly found out that her boyfriend had slept with his friend as her dying wish, and she couldn't even confront her about it. Now, infidelity is something that often can be forgiven. But when one woman claimed to have found out that her boyfriend slept with her pal as her, or his pal rather, as her dying wish without asking, she was left jealous and distraught, not knowing what to do. Here's the deal, though. His terminally ill friend said that she wanted to sleep with him before she died, but he didn't open up about their night of passion because he didn't want to get dumped, which frustrated her. Okay? The 22-year-old woman claimed she found out about the cheating when she was on a group holiday with her friends. And to make matters worse, she couldn't confront the woman about it because she had passed away in March of 2022.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Talking to Reddit, the unnamed woman claimed, "I hate myself because I get angry inside whenever he mentions her. I can express my jealousy because she's dead. I can't express my jealousy because she's dead anyway. This jealousy is eating me up. They totally had emotional sex because of her condition. I don't even know who initiated it. It was probably something like how she didn't want to die a virgin." There's another level.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Although she's confident that he was never attracted to her and that they had never had a relationship beyond that, she added that she did have a secret crush on him. However, she's now struggling because they have an otherwise perfect relationship, but he's been struggling in the wake of his friend's death. She explained, "He's always been a good boyfriend, even when he's at his lowest now." In an updated post, the woman revealed that she had approached her boyfriend about it, following advice she'd received from fellow forum users. Always a bad idea. And that he'd regretted it immediately, as he said he just didn't want to be dumped. She continued, "My boyfriend said that if he could, he would have asked me for permission then. He would have respected my decision and wouldn't have done it. However, a part of him would also feel guilty about not fulfilling his friend's wish when she dies. When I asked him if the sex was emotional for him, he admitted that it was, but they were close friends and she was dying. He only did it because of their platonic relationship and her impending death. He wouldn't have done it in other circumstances. It wasn't romantic for him. I think it's so messed up that sleeping with him specifically was one of the dying girl's dreams. Maybe she just didn't care anymore because she was going to leave us anyway. I'm still conflicted. The boyfriend has since said he would do anything to gain her trust back, and she said she would do what we can to work on things." In the comments section, one person said, "Dude, what? I would do a lot of things for a dying friend's last request, but disrespecting my relationship and cheating to give them one last thrill is out of the question." Another added, "I don't think he's as innocent as you're attempting to brainwash yourself into thinking. He had an opportunity, took it, then regretted it, as most cheaters do." That's where the story ends, Jess. So now, okay. I want your thoughts.
All right. Well, I like how he says he wishes he could go back and ask and then respect her wishes. He didn't ask because he knew she would say no.
You think so?
Yeah, she would have said no, and he knows that she would have said no. So he didn't ask because he knew it would be a definite no. And he can't say he wasn't attracted to her because then he wouldn't have done that with her. I mean, there had to have been some level of attraction.
You think?
I think so. I wouldn't just sleep with someone because they were dying.
But
if I wasn't somewhat attracted to them somehow.
But there's the caveat of she's a virgin.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have an if in here.
Okay.
I don't agree with the fact that he did it behind her back.
That's my biggest problem.
That to me bothers me. That does bother me. But had he been upfront about it, and had he said to her, "Honey, I have a problem, but I need to know if this is okay, and if we can do this together." Not together, all together like a threesome. but I need you to sign off on this, and this is why. And here's the deal. I care about my friend. I need to know if you would be okay with this because, as you may know, I love and care about my friend. And even though I believe in life after death and I believe that we go on, you have to understand that I love my friend. We may only get one ride at this deal. There may be reincarnation, there may not be. What if this is the only life? What if this is her only chance?
Hire someone.
Hire someone? Really?
No, I mean,
even if
there's no reason that that has to happen. There's no good reason that that has to happen.
Even if I'm her bucket list?
I mean, there's lots of things on your bucket list you're not going to get to do. Get over it. That's how it goes.
But let me reverse this. Okay, let me reverse this on you. So what if you're the one who's dying and you have a shot at the Rock and your husband and you had and your husband goes, well, I don't know, honey, I'd be pretty jealous.
Oh, honestly, Tim, that would be the last thing on my bucket list. There's so many other wonderful things that I'd want to do before I died.
I don't think so, honey. The Rock, I don't know. No, I know he's willing to do it and he'll give you the time of your life. He'll do whatever you want. But geez, I don't know. I don't know.
It's still a no for me.
I think I'd be a little petty about it.
I just think, well, he should have asked. And if the answer was, okay, go ahead, then that was their decision. And it is what it is. But if you're in a relationship with someone and you don't ask, then you shouldn't do it. If you ask and they say no, you shouldn't do it.
I agree with that. If you ask and they say no, then no.
Yeah. 100%. He made a bad choice.
Yeah.
Although, on the other side, if she does forgive him and stay with him, she'll have something to hold over his head forever.
That's true. That's true. Every Valentine's Day.
Probably be nothing but a great boyfriend from here on out.
That's right. Every Valentine's Day, Christmas, and birthday is going to be going to the bank, baby.
Diamonds.
That's right. I found myself in a weird position with it because from a... And I'm not thinking about a human, how should I put this, Jess? You're going to think that I'm being weird about this. I'm not thinking from a petty, jealous, your mind type.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking from a, and I'm not thinking from a hippy dippy standpoint either. I'm thinking from a, you know what? This is a person who's passing away. And what do we do for them as they're passing away? This is, if it's their last wish, let's think Make-A-Wish for a second, okay? Some people want to go to Disney. Some people want to meet The Rock. Some people want to do whatever. Was this really this person's last wish?
I mean, get a better last wish.
Wow. But I mean, seriously, let's take this seriously for a second.
Okay.
Okay. If this was seriously her last wish, do you deny somebody their last wish? Because that was the last thing they wanted on earth.
I personally would. I mean, if I'm in really? A relationship with someone and that's their last wish, I mean, let's come up with something else to do that's really special. Like, we can do all kinds of special things together. We don't have to do that. If I'm in a relationship and that's going to bother my significant other, but it sounds like you're leaning the other direction. Like you would say, you know what?
If it's, I do. If it's my significant other and it's her best friend.
Their friend, yeah.
And he's dying and he's a virgin and he's about to leave this earth, I could probably see my way clear.
Yeah, you'd say yes. I mean, I don't know if my husband asked, would I say yes or no? I don't know.
I could probably see my way clear. And the reason being is that it's one, if it's one time, if this isn't a line of bullshit, if it's one time. And the fact of the matter is, and if emotionally, if it's true, if everything that I'm being told is above board and it's true.
Yeah. I mean, to each their own. And I don't even know that if I would say no or yes, if my husband asked me this. But the point is, the guy didn't ask. That's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, and that's where we draw the line.
If he asked, you know, I don't know, let me throw the rose petals around the bed for you guys. Light some candles.
I don't go that far. I'm not setting the table, right?
I can sit in the corner and play some music on my guitar. Sing you a little love song.
Come on, Jess. I'm not going that far. I'm not setting the table and making the meal for you. Come on. I mean, you know, you all can handle the arrangements.
Yeah. I don't know if the answer would be yes or no. That is a conundrum. But the point is, she never got the opportunity. So then, of course, she's going to come out of that with bad feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. I of course. Yeah. Well, and she has every right to feel hurt, you know?
Yeah.
She does have every right to feel hurt. She has every right to be angry. She has every right to feel hurt. She has every right to, yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get everything about it. It's just, you know, I think some of the reaction to the Redditors, I think they're trying to fuel some of the emotion she's having, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. As they do. People really get off on that.
Yeah, and that, I think that's terrible that people do that. They try to take advantage of a situation and try to make it worse than what it is.
And I'm trying to wrap my brain around, that's your last wish? I mean, there's so many wonderful things in the world. Take me to the ocean, you know? Let me see.
Well, but see the
Paris.
With that person, maybe they were so in love with their best friend that was it. There are some people that are single-minded.
I guess.
You know, that they are. They're so single-minded that is it. That's, you know, that they have one goal, and that's, you know, I'm going to leave here, and I have, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do if I never have sex? And that's it.
Yeah. You'll be fine. If you get to the other side and you're still a virgin, you'll be fine. I don't know. I feel like that's a bad friend to even put him in that position. God rest her soul. But that wasn't very nice of her.
I hear you. No. I know. It's but I mean, there's some people who've never had chocolate ice cream. You know, it's, what am I going to do if I die and I never have chocolate ice cream? Or what am I going to do if I die and I never skydive? I mean, there are some people who are driven by, you know, what if I die and I never do this? And they're driven to do the weirdest things before they die, but it's what keeps them going.
And this is why we shouldn't know when we're going to die. This is why we're not going to use that AI death calculator thing. That sounds horrifying.
That's right. That's why we're not. That's why. Exactly, Jess. That's why we're not going to use the AI death calculator, as far as you know. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to use it. Not going to use it. That's for sure. Tomorrow on the big show, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal is the name of the book. We have, I believe, all three with us tomorrow. Marie D. Jones, Denise Agnew, and Nicole Strickland.
That's going to be a good one.
Yes, we are celebrating Women in the Paranormal. We do that every week here on the big program, but we're especially doing it tomorrow as we have all three women on the show. And we'll be talking about... we'll be talking about this great new book that's out there. We'll be talking about the different things in the book. They're talking about the book in itself is wonderful. It celebrates women in all aspects of the paranormal. Everyone from ufologists, cryptozoologists, and monster hunters, paranormal historians and tour guides, paranormal archaeologists, haunted location tour guides, podcasters, and more. I happen to know our own Mally Fox is in this book.
Oh, I love it.
So... folks, if you want to, before the big program tomorrow, order it on Amazon. It's called Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. You can follow along with us on the program tomorrow. Marie D. Jones, Denise Agnew, and Nicole Strickland will all be on the program tomorrow. So, women on the fringe. It's all about women tomorrow here on the big program.
Girl power.
That's right. That's right. So that'll do it for today. Jess, what do you got going on there? I know we can follow you on the website, but.
Yes, you can find me online on my website, jessicafreeburg.com. You can connect with me on all the social avenues. I'm not very active on Twitter, though, or X now, I guess, as you call it, but I am on there. Just connect, say hi. Love to say hi to you guys.
Right on, right on. Far as I go, it's just me and my battle with the squirrel in the front yard. Life has become pathetic.
You need your own like TikTok specifically for this.
I do. It's just me going
to work. I can see that going viral.
Yep. I'm going to have to order that that AI camera with the paintballs, evidently. That's my goal this weekend.
Just a man and his squirrels.
Just a man and the squirrels going to war. And a chipmunk by my side. God, that sounds like a kid's book ready to go. Seriously, though, folks, I'm not that bad with animals. I do have an event at the Palmer coming up. You can go to darknessradioshow.com. I do actually love animals. I love them so much. I'm trying to raise money for them. Come out and ghost hunt with us at the Palmer May 18th. Potographs for Pooches. It's Tim Miley who's running the event. It's Tim Miley, Richard Estep, myself, and a few others. And by all means, get a ticket. There's still a few tickets available. I believe $79 for the day. And stay overnight with us there at the Haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Going to be a great time. I guarantee it. I don't guarantee much, but I guarantee it. So that's coming up May 18th. Michigan Paracon. I mentioned it Tuesday on the big program yesterday. Brad Blair was with us with Paranormal Justice. I'm going to be there as well. Tickets are available on a link at darknessradioshow.com in the events page. Click on that link. Go get your tickets for Michigan Paracon in August. That's available as well. darknessradioshow.com/events. I think that's about it for the week. I want you to keep track to the Darkness Radio Show page to the shop section. I'm going to be putting some new stuff on the shop section, some little interesting little shop stuff, some paranormal related gifts and stuff like that.
Cool.
So those are going to be coming up here in the next few days. All kinds of neat little stuff coming up. So. Just keep your eye on darknessradioshow.com. So, and intern Yoko has her fairy houses coming to darknessradioshow.com.
She has love her fairy houses.
Yeah, she's got her business, Junkin' Pixie. So, not drunken, Junkin' Pixie. So, we'll be putting up her own page on darknessradioshow.com so you can check out all the different fairy houses. That'll probably be coming up either this weekend or next weekend. So.
I love that. Her stuff is so cool.
She makes amazing fairy houses. So
she does.
So we're going to list those and you can see how much those are and you can order those directly off the page. So, and you can have those just in time for the spring and summer season. You can display those out in your garden and I don't know. I think they're big enough that you can have critters live in them. I'm not sure.
I know. Not your giant critters.
No. Although you know what? The chipmunks love them.
Yeah.
They love to crawl up in them and I don't know. I don't know what they do in them, but they love them. I don't know what to say. Yeah, they love them. So there you go. So that'll do it for today for Jessica Freeburg. I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening. Again tomorrow, Marie D. Jones, Denise Agnew, and Nicole Strickland, Women on the Fringe, groundbreaking women in the paranormal, right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. You've been listening to Darkness Radio.